RNZ Pacific News. Atamarie ko Lydia Lewis tēnei. The Papua New Guinea government has announced an in-house inquiry into the conduct of last year's election. The Post Courier reports this will be spearheaded by the PNG Special Parliamentary Committee on the 2022 general elections. In a statement, committee chair Alan Bird says this inquiry will look into all aspects of the election process. Mr. Bird says that includes the conduct of updating the electoral roll, campaigning, voting, counting, declarations, disputes returns, process and other related matters. It will also look into the expenditure of electoral funds and the powers, functions and responsibilities of the Electoral Commission. Meanwhile, two PNG Defence Force soldiers have been injured in an ambush in the Western Highlands province of Enga. The Post Courier reports local police saying a group of locals set up a roadblock and shot soldiers who had been called to assist in retrieving a stolen vehicle. Police say they've identified the culprits but did not confirm any arrests. Australia has announced it will help revive Tonga's state-owned airline Lulutai. Tonga's sole domestic airline grounded its main aircraft last week for maintenance and repairs. Australia's High Commissioner Rachel Moore told a press conference in Nuku'alofa that Australia would provide financial support and help develop a business plan with Lulutai, although she did not provide an exact figure.
We are very committed to this bilateral relationship. We know that Tonga's had a very difficult couple of years, and most of those challenges are entirely out of your control and beyond any cause that you could have managed yourselves. And we know how important these years are going to be to your recovery. Aviation is a key part of that.
Fiji's former elections supervisor, Mohamed Sanim, is under investigation by the anti-corruption agency for alleged abuse of the office and has been stopped from fleeing the country. The Fijian office, electoral office or FEO, says Mr. Sanim is alleged to have unlawfully authorised payments of sitting allowances to members of the Electoral Commission. The elections body says Constitutional Officers Commission had clarified to Mr. Sanim that the allowance for the chairperson and members of the Electoral Commission remained at the same rate of 500 Fijian dollars per person per meeting. Mr. Sanim, however, had continued to instruct allowances to be paid to the Commission's members for attending events other than meetings, including social functions. According to the Elections Act, the election supervisor has no authority to determine when an Electoral Commission meeting takes place. A New Zealand employer is relieved the government of Samoa will resume participation in the recognised seasonal employer scheme. Samoa's cabinet put a temporary ban on seasonal workers going to New Zealand and Australia in January. Yummy Fruit General Manager Paul Painter says they're about 100 staff short in the packhouse and for picking.
It's a huge relief. Labour is still very, very tight, and the increase in the RSE numbers was critical to free up workers for other industries, particularly hospitality, tourism, which are starting to get going, and everybody's still really struggling to find people.
Mr. Painter says there could be some delays with visas being processed. Meanwhile, a Samoa seasonal worker recruiter says he would not feel good about restricting who gets seasonal jobs. From March, village councils in collaboration with district councils in Samoa will determine who will be selected for seasonal work. It follows concerns that skilled workers are departing the country. Founder of Falelii Seasonal Workers Program, Tua Tangaloa Joe Annandale, says after 6 months of seasonal work, a person could afford more than a policeman who had worked for 10 years.
I couldn't, with a clear conscience, say to the guy, you know, sorry, you can't go because you've got a job here in Samoa. And this is what government is trying to say, that they're trying to restrict. Anybody that's employed in Samoa cannot go, should not be allowed to go.
Another move is underway in American Samoa to raise the legal age for purchasing tobacco. The bill introduced this week seeks to raise the legal age to purchase tobacco products from 18 to 21. Currently, 32 states and one US territory, Guam, have passed legislation lifting the age to 21. The legislation says that increasing the age to 21 puts most purchases outside the social circle of most high school students. Previous bills presented in the legislature to raise the legal age have failed to muster full support from lawmakers in both the Senate and House of Representatives for a final vote. The proposed bill would also increase the annual vendor's fee to sell tobacco products from $25 to $300 per year. The Criminal Court in French Polynesia has given three foreigners prison sentences of up to 7 years for smuggling cocaine. The catamaran of two Dutchmen and a Pole was intercepted in Nukuheva in the Marquesas in 2017 with 500 kilograms of the drug on board. The three, who had sailed from Central America, say they were unaware of the cargo. After being detained for 2 years, they were allowed to leave Tahiti pending their trial. They were convicted in their absence. The court issued no order for them to be arrested and serve their sentence in Tahiti. It is not immediately clear if the prosecution will appeal. In New Zealand, Eden Park's chief executive says he's confident the extensive flooding will drain in time for next week's Ed Sheeran concert. Friday's flood sent millions of litres of runoff water into the stadium's outer oval, and millions of litres remain. Nick Sautner says the water is still draining out.
We've seen significant reduction in the water over the last 6 hours, and that's an encouraging sign that for all Aucklanders, that the aquifer is lowering. So Auckland's a great city, and we want to showcase the resilience of the community and the people of Auckland.
The concerts are to take place next Friday and Saturday, and a local state of emergency remains in place for Auckland following the flash flooding event. In sport, Australian tennis star Nick Kyrgios has avoided a conviction but has admitted to assaulting an ex-girlfriend. The 27-year-old's guilty plea came after his lawyers failed to have the charge dismissed on mental health grounds. The BBC's Phil Mercer has more.
The magistrate was quite sympathetic to Nick Kyrgios, not recording a conviction. No good behaviour bond has been imposed either. The reason for that, the magistrate saying that this offence occurred 2 years ago, and in the intervening time, Nick Kyrgios has sought help for his mental health problems and has not reoffended again. So what it means is that Nick Kyrgios doesn't have a criminal record, and as a professional tennis player ranked 20th in the world, is free to travel the world competing without hindrance.
And that is the latest news and sport for RNZ Pacific. You can read more on our website, rnzi.com.